You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Logan Buchert. For those of you that don't know me, my wife is Alicia. We have two boys, Sawyer and Bentley, and we call this church home. I've grown up here my whole life, and so, yeah, it's just a privilege to be able to share with you all many people who I've, kind of grown up with, so. We've been directing at Steep Rock Bay Bible Camp for 7 years now, and we've also been with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission for 2 years. So just to give you a bit of background where we're at now. I just want to give you a little bit of an update on the past, the present, and the future, and just give you a kind of an overview of what we've done, what we are doing, and what we hope to do. I don't know the future, but I know what we're planning for. So, starting with this summer, we moved our teen camp from the end of the summer to the beginning of the summer a couple years ago, and we just had a vision to see the teens spending more time at the camp throughout the summer and offering them our leadership program, which we call our Waymaker program. And so this was a way that we could promote the program while they're at teen camp, and then they could stay actually for the rest of the summer. And we've seen a lot more excitement around the teen camp and the Waymaker program through making this change. And part of our motivation is when we look back at Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus left this earth, he said, "All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so we want to be making disciples, and that's what we've kind of shaped our ministry around, just the words that Jesus left us with. It's hard to make disciples in 1 week. When you only have somebody for 1 week, it's a very short window. So if you can have more opportunities to engage with them, it's very valuable. So we love to see the kids first as a junior camper, and then as a teen camper, and also as a Waymaker, and then we go visit them in their communities. And through all these different opportunities, we're able to teach the word and disciple these kids. And it's just been really neat to see this happening over the years. And then once we feel like they're at a good place, we provide opportunities for them to live out their faith at camp by serving at camp. So as Devin shared, our theme was found in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and he said that verse for us. And I really think that disciple making is walking along this narrow road alongside each other. And that's really what we want to do. So this year, our teen camp attendance was actually more than double of last year, which was very exciting. And then we had 12 students take part in our leadership program, which is also very exciting. And we just saw a really high level of maturity and growth in these young people. Three of them were given the opportunity to be junior cabin leaders, which is what we want to see. We want to see First Nations people sharing the gospel with First Nations people, and that's such a beautiful thing to see. One of them in particular, he was part of our teen camp, and we just saw a high level of maturity, and just he was a hard worker and kind of a quiet leader in the group, and so we encouraged him to come, and he came for the program, and he just kept, even when the program was done, he kept coming back. He helped us move out camp at the end of the summer, and you could just tell that he really valued the purpose that we gave him at camp. He didn't accept Christ this summer, and so you can be praying for him. But he, just looking at him, you would think that he was a believer just by the way that he lives his life and acts around other people. So I'm excited for what God's going to do in his life. At first, it was looking like we weren't going to be able to run this program because we didn't have leaders for it. So we were just praying for God to have somebody step up and take that on. Last summer, we had a couple from NCEM join us for 2 weeks, Timothy and Laura Block. And they chose to join us for the whole summer this year. And they weren't originally going to be leading this program, but they offered and they stepped up to do that alongside all their other responsibilities. And they did quite well at it. It was they had a lot on their plate. They have five kids, so they have their hands full, but they led the program well. And we were pretty grateful for how God just put it on their hearts to do that. So as I mentioned, we are NCEM missionaries serving at Steep Rock Bay Bible Camp. So we do trips throughout the year under the name of Steep Rock to the communities that Steep Rock serves. And that's really what our follow-up ministry looks like. So going back to last spring break, we took a group of high school students to the community of Moose Lake, and we ran a day camp in their school there. And Timothy and Laura also joined us for that trip. And that trip really showed us the value of just taking young people from, these ones were from Winnipeg, and bringing them to a different culture and just immersing them in that and having their eyes open to the world around them and the need for people to know Jesus. And there's also just a lot of value in the community, just seeing this group come and investing into their kids. They really expressed their gratitude to us for bringing this group and doing this day camp. We've built relationships with campers over the years, and so during this Moose Lake trip, the day camp was during the day, and it was for the kids. But in the evening, we had a few teens that would come knock on the door of the school, and they wanted to come play volleyball with us. And four of these teens were some girls that, when we started at Steep Rock, they were just little girls, and they called Alicia and I mom and dad. And so it was just kind of special to have them still wanting to see us and spend time with us. And just building these relationships is so valuable. A couple weeks ago, I had phoned one of their houses to talk to their dad, and I was talking to him and telling him about the baby that we're expecting here shortly, and so he called his daughter over, and he said that we're expecting a baby, and she said, "Oh, I'm going to be an auntie." So just kind of shows that how they feel like part of our family, and it's pretty special. So those girls weren't at camp this summer, so if we hadn't been in their community, we wouldn't have actually got to see them. So I was glad that we did. The trip also just kind of brought me back to when I was in youth group in this church, and we used to go to a community called Deschambault Lake, Saskatchewan, every year. A number of you guys have been there, been part of that, and it just brings back a lot of memories. Every year we would go do a VBS for the kids in that community, and these trips had a big impact on me. We were brought to a different culture and given the opportunity to share the gospel as young teens. That's intimidating, but it also just shapes who you are as a believer. And little did I know that God was preparing me for the work that He has me doing now. And I think, it would be great to see the youth of this church going on those kind of trips again. And that's our prayer that we could do that with this church. So just looking a little bit about at the present, where we're at now. This time of year, after camp, I go back to Beaver Creek and I work harvest full time. And then I just switched to 4 days a week. And so I do, I take Fridays off for preparing for speaking engagements like this, meetings, writing newsletters, and planning these trips and things. And I'm just really grateful to the farm for providing flexibility to be able to do the ministry that we do. It's a real blessing. So Alicia's just started doing homeschool with Sawyer, so that's a new thing. It's going well. The baby is going to change things. Lord willing, we'll have a baby in the next week or so. So that's exciting, and it's going to change things a little bit. But that's kind of what we're doing this time of year right now. Looking to the future, The near future? Last year we delivered Christmas cards to 4 of the communities that we get kids from. And so each camper gets a personal Christmas card from their cabin leader. And we used to mail them out, but last year we actually went to the communities, knocked on their doors, and handed them their Christmas cards. And that was just a lot of fun to just see their face light up when we would just surprise them with a card with their name on it from their cabin leader. And some of the cabin leaders came with us, and so sometimes it was actually their own cabin leader that delivered their card, and it was really special. So we're planning that trip again for the first weekend in December. The baby might determine whether we can physically be on that trip, but we have a number of staff that would like to go and bless these kids with their Christmas cards. So, the Moose Lake trip is also scheduled to happen again this spring break, so you can be praying about that. It'll be a new group of students from the school that in Winnipeg that came last year, so we're gearing up for that trip again. And as we look forward to the summer, there are some significant challenges that we're facing as a Bible camp. It just kind of seemed like they were adding up towards the end of the summer. And so if you're looking for things to pray, these are some things that you could specifically pray for. One of them being our power supply. Our wire from the pole to the meter is 3 pieces of wire, and they're kind of spliced together, and they keep melting through, and then we have sparks on the playing field, and it's not good. So we're kind of at the mercy of Manitoba Hydro to fix our power supply. Another thing is water. We've been using river water for all of our fixtures except for drinking water up till now, but we've been told that we need to have potable water supply, drinking water supply for all of our fixtures except our toilets. So we need to upgrade our plumbing and have a water supply that's sufficient for the water that we use at the camp. Another thing is our land use. We have a lease on 1 acre, and we use about 4.5. So we've been wanting to expand that so that we can get permits to upgrade our buildings and things like that. But the land is it's Crown land that the reserve has requested to become their land. And so there's we have to get the approval of the reserve, and they've been very hesitant to do that. So it's kind of at a standstill. We can function as is, but the future is unknown as to what our land agreement will look like in the future. And we're kind of stuck with the buildings and the facilities that we have. So I can pray about that. Also, our board, we have kind of a bare minimum board, and we would like to have some more board members to run the camp well. So that's a need that we have. And another one is to replace Devin. I don't know where we're going to find a new Devin, but he's moved on to YFC, and we're really grateful for that, and just excited to see Devin serving at YFC. I've grown up with Devin, and it was a real blessing to work with him these last 2 years. He loves the Lord, and I'm excited to see how he's going to serve with YFC, but we'll need another program director. So, yeah, those are some things that are coming up on the horizon. When we look at these challenges, we're still reminded of how God has been faithful in the past, and he's never failed us. So we look forward to seeing how he's going to provide, and we want to do our part, but we also want to trust God. So I just want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7:13-14, our verse that we've been talking about, and I'd just like to look at that a little bit more in depth this morning. So I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray that as we look into it this morning, that you would show us what you want to teach us this morning, and just impress upon our hearts a desire to follow you faithfully. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever been invited to go somewhere, and the person inviting you, they really play it up. They really, embellish what they're inviting to. Maybe they're inviting you to a certain campground that's their favorite, or their favorite fishing spot, or maybe a certain restaurant that's just the best. And so they really talk it up because they want you to come. They want you to take part in it. We have a tendency as humans to do this, to really sell something, but it's not always the best thing. And when Jesus is talking about the Christian life here in this passage, he doesn't do that. He doesn't try to make it sound like something that it's not. I'm just going to read those verses again. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is spacious that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we can have a temptation with sharing the gospel to try to make, to try to really sell it and make it sound attractive so that somebody is quick to accept it. And that could be a temptation at camp when you feel like you just have a week to work with these kids, and you want to just, really sell the gospel so that they'll accept it within that week. But deceiving someone into thinking that it's just a quick prayer that you pray, everything will be fixed and your life will be miraculously changed. Deceiving someone isn't doing them any favors when they find out later that it wasn't the way that you presented it. These verses come out of one of my favorite passages of Scripture, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And I think when thinking about presenting the gospel, if there's anyone that knows how to do it best, it's Jesus. And so this is a sermon that he preached, and we can really learn from how he presents the gospel here. He starts teaching the crowds. He just sees the crowds and he starts teaching them, and it seems like it's just off the cuff, but he speaks with authority that makes it clear that he's the Son of God. So when he's talking about the gate and the way, he's talking figuratively so that we can understand. But if we're looking for a physical gate to walk through or an actual path to walk down, we're already off track. So let's just look into that a little bit about what he means. When we're trying to present the gospel, we're not looking at what the gate is. It's not a physical gate. And the way isn't a physical way. But we need to understand who they are, not what they are. So John 10:9, Jesus is talking about how he is the good shepherd. And he answers this question of who is the gate. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved." So there's our answer. Jesus is the gate. He is the door. So by repenting of our sins and submitting our life to Jesus, we are entering through the gate into eternal life. So I have to ask the question, have you entered through the narrow gate? Paul Washer says, "The evidence that you've passed through the narrow gate is that you are now walking on the narrow way." So looking at the way, we sometimes wonder, how do we know the way? And Thomas asked Jesus that very question. In John 14, he says, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way is easy that leads to destruction, and the way is difficult that leads to life. For our teen camp this year, we took the canoes out to some caves out on the lake. We spent 2 nights there and then canoed back. And the second day that we were there, it was very hot. It was just extremely hot. And everyone was feeling the effects of the heat. They were looking for shade and water and just trying to stay cool. And everybody wanted to go back early. We were planning to spend the night, and they were just asking, can we just go back? The water was calm. It looked like a good evening for canoeing. The conditions were were good, but it was hot. And there was a storm brewing on the horizon. And we would be heading towards that storm. So we chose to wait it out and head out in the morning. And that evening, the wind picked up and the storm hit. Just about knocked our tent over. And yeah, it was very windy. We woke up in the morning to a cooler day, and there was a steady wind blowing against the shore. And so there was a lot of nervous canoers as they headed out into the waves, just not sure if they were going to tip or how it was going to be. As they made their way out into the bay, they realized that the waves were actually pushing them straight towards the river inlet where the camp, that led to the camp. And so they had a pretty easy canoe ride. Even though the waves and the wind looked intimidating, it was they made it back a lot quicker than they had made it there. So had we chose the easy way, seemingly easy way, the day before, they would have risked heat stroke out on the water, and they could have headed into a storm and found themselves in big trouble. By weathering the storm and venturing out into the waves, they found that they were being carried along the way. So many times in our lives are the same. We're faced with choices, and we see what's in front of us, and often it looks good. It looks like what we want and what's going to make us happy. But we can't see that storm brewing on the horizon. So I ask you another question. Is your life hard? Do you find like you're feel like you're heading into the waves, and do you see waves around you? John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So that's a promise from Jesus, not the kind that we like to hear when he says, "You will have tribulation." But he ends with saying, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So in closing, Jesus is the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's really simple, actually, when we break it down. So let's be encouraged wherever you find yourself along the way, the journey of life. And let's encourage others along their journey in life and disciple them along the way. So stay on the narrow way, abide with Christ, and walk along others alongside others in their journey. So in saying that, I just want to encourage you to consider what mission God has you on as we talk about missions today. And I'm on the missions committee at the church. And so I just, yeah, as we walk out these doors, let's be thinking about what is my mission? Is it here in McGregor? Is it in Manitoba? Is it in Canada? Is it to the world? And let's go make disciples. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for each person here today as we walk along the journey of life, and we find ourselves facing trials and joys. And I just pray, Lord, that you would keep our eyes above the waves and help us to stay fixed on you. Help us to present the gospel to others clearly and effectively in ways that are not trying to twist the truth. Just help us to be true to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.